Book 1. I mean to inquire if, in the civil order, there can be any sure and legitimate rule of administration, men being taken as they are, and laws as they might be. In this inquiry, I shall endeavor always to unite what right sanctions with what is prescribed by interest, in order that justice and utility may in no case be divided. I enter upon my task without proving the importance of the subject. I shall be asked if I am a prince or a legislator to write on politics. I answer that I am neither, and that is why I do so. If I were a prince or a legislator, I should not waste time in saying what wants doing. I should do it or hold my peace. As I was born a citizen of a free state and a member of the sovereign, I feel that however feeble the influence my voice can have on public affairs, the right of voting on them makes it my duty to study them. And I am happy when I reflect upon governments to find my inquiries always furnish me with new reasons for loving that of my own country. 1. Subject of the First Book. Man is born free, and everywhere he is in chains. One thinks himself the master of others, and still remains a greater slave than they. How did this change come about? I do not know. What can make it legitimate? That question I think I can answer. If I took into account only force and the effects derived from it, I should say, as long as a people is compelled to obey, and obeys, it does well. As soon as it can shake off the yoke and shakes it off, it does still better. For regaining its liberty by the same right as took it away, either it is justified in resuming it, or there was no justification for those who took it away. But the social order is a sacred right which is the basis of all other rights. Nevertheless, this right does not come from nature, and must therefore be founded on conventions. Before coming to that, I have to prove what I have just asserted. 2. The First Societies. The most ancient of all societies, and the only one that is natural, is the family. And even so, the children remain attached to the father only so long as they need him for their preservation. As soon as this need ceases, the natural bond is dissolved. The children, released from the obedience they owed to the father, and the father, released from the care he owed his children, return equally to independence. If they remain united, they continue so no longer naturally, but voluntarily. And the family itself is then maintained only by convention. This common liberty results from the nature of man. His first law is to provide for his own preservation. His first cares are those which he owes to himself. And as soon as he reaches years of discretion, he is the sole judge of the proper means of preserving himself, and consequently becomes his own master. The family then may be called the first model of political societies. The ruler corresponds to the father, and the people to the children. And all, being born free and equal, alienate their liberty only for their own advantage. The whole difference is that in the family, the love of the father for his children repays him for the care he takes of them, while in the state, the pleasure of commanding takes the place of the love which the chief cannot have for the peoples under him. Grotius denies that all human power is established in favor of the governed, and quotes slavery as an example. His usual method of reasoning is constantly to establish right by fact. Learned inquiries into the public right are often only the history of past abuses, and troubling to study them too deeply is a profitless infatuation. Essays on the Interest of France in Relation to Its Neighbors by the Marquis d'Argenson. This is exactly what Grotius has done. It would be possible to employ a more logical method, but none could be more favorable to tyrants. It is then, according to Grotius, doubtful whether the human race belongs to 100 men or that 100 men to the human race. And throughout his book, he seems to incline to the former alternative, which is also the view of Hobbes. On this showing, the human species is divided into so many herds of cattle, each with its ruler, who keeps guard over them for the purpose of devouring them.